Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
3 seconds to go. We're tied at 90. Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Banks at home.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ian Eagle here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Jalen Suggs could easily be the number one pick in the draft. It could be one. It could be two. It could be three. He's going to be a legitimate NBA player.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, CBS sports broadcaster Jim Nantz. Still to come from NBC Sports, Peter King. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Our first hour was all about Nantz. Jim Nantz called into the show. What a great chat with Jim, who's calling tonight's national championship game on CBS. Alongside Bill Raftery and Grant Hill, that will go down tonight. And then Jim's going to head off to Augusta National for Masters Week. That was just a great conversation. If you missed it with Jim, that's what our YouTube page is for, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. If you're watching on Peacock, it's free. If you're not, you can watch us every day between 12 and 3 Eastern time. You can check out all of our videos on Peacock as well as the re-air version of this show every single day. You can get every single video, again, on our YouTube page and select videos at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots, Rich. Over there. And then TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there, sir.
Does anybody know about the quake?
Yeah. It was 4.0 at 4:44 this morning.
Man.
It definitely woke me up. And so it's good to see everybody alive and well here
Happy
today.
To be here.
Peter King's going to join us in about 20 minutes time. It's NFL draft month, so we're going to turn our attention to a lot going on in the football world. I could not be more excited about it. Very fired up. So we'll get to Peter shortly. One of the things, obviously, we talked about in the first hour, also with Jim Nantz, was the national champion weekend semifinal contest. Baylor blows out his alma mater, Houston, and that was let's see what Gonzaga and UCLA have to offer, and then what Gonzaga and UCLA offers totally eclipses the earlier game. It's as if Baylor got a bye into the championship game tonight, because again, Gonzaga winning in the manner in which it won, with UCLA being the Cinderella and Gonzaga being the monster that has an opportunity to win historically. It was just a wild affair. And plus, the final score of 93-90 is entertaining. We saw great defense. We saw tremendous action. And we saw the ball go in the basket. We saw it all. We saw efficient defense. We saw efficient offense. We saw the ball go in the basket despite some terrific defense. The officials didn't really blow it either. They were, Suggs blocked Riley, right? Later in the game. He did hit his hand. And I know, I guess, what hand is part of the ball.
He kind of ticked the ball first. I thought that was a clean play.
I don't know. And then the Timmy charge that Nantz brought up that could have changed the fortunes, because Juzang went in with 0.7 seconds to go in regulation. If it was a block, Timmy would have fouled out, wouldn't have been available for the final heave, if you will. And Juzang going to the line is a terrific free throw shooter. That would have been it. I thought that was an excellent charge call. I thought he absolutely was there. I thought his feet were set. He was outside the semicircle. We see the still photograph of it. And so we're not sitting here bitching about officiating. It really was just a terrific game. Now then, I'm not just sharing this story because my wife's on a plane and can't hear it. When I was an intern for the Staten Island Advance, I was, you know, a young man, and there was a young lady who was also an intern there, and I asked her out. She said no. She wound up, she said, yeah, she said no. She wound up dating somebody else there, and the person that she wound up dating, they got married.
Oh.
Right. And so the reason why I bring that up is, when you lose in the NCAA tournament, you want to see the team that bounced you cut down the nets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the
go all the way.
That's the analogy I got for you.
Go all the way.
Yeah. You want to see them walk down the aisle, if you will.
Yeah.
And cut down the nets and win it all. If you lose and you can't go to where you want to go, and you can't achieve the title, you want the other person to achieve the title, right?
Or a team in your, like for me, like if whoever
I'm
makes it from the NFC East.
Guy. I kind of am, you know, in all of
I
that.
I feel like that, like if we're in the same conference.
I got it, but not Ohio State. I'm sorry.
I forgot about,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm like, I just honestly, and I think Ohio State fans would feel the same way.
You're right.
They're
about
always that. Saying, we would root for you if you were in the national championship game in football. And to that I say,
yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
By the way, I'd love to give them an opportunity to prove me wrong.
Let's see.
I don't know if we will do that anytime soon. But you see what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So despite Gonzaga being able to win historically, but despite Gonzaga being generally likable, I like Mark Few. Okay, they're a very, very enjoyable team to watch, and they, as you know, have attempted to do this before. Not the undefeated part, but they deserve it if they win tonight. And I'm sure Baylor fans will say we deserve it too, and all that business. But
well, both teams deserve it.
I was rooting for UCLA, man.
Yeah,
I was rooting for them, to go from the first four to the final four.
Incredible.
And so this is the only thing I have to say. Is there another breaking of the glass slipper that can compare to this? We've seen teams, one seeds beat two. We've seen three seeds beat ones. We've seen two seeds beat fours. We've seen that. Have we ever seen a Cinderella story have the glass slipper smashed into smithereens in the most gutting manner possible? This is that. I can't recall it. I didn't look it up. Maybe if you want to call 844-204-RICH and say, yeah, Rich, this happened, that happened. I mean, when Michigan beat Loyola of Chicago a couple years ago, it wasn't like this. Then go to overtime and then have somebody throw one in from like Lillard part of the court. Dame time, right? Portion of the court.
Suggs time.
As good as he is and as much as he's done it before. In practice, and that's what they said. It still went in, and it was still an insane shot.
Yeah.
Still, you know.
Insane.
Right. Overtime, double overtime would have been there. And here's another crazy analogy. Have you ever seen The Shining?
No.
Oh, great.
Have you seen The Shining, T.J. Jefferson?
Great.
Okay. I'm going to spoil something for you, Chris, but too bad. Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to say
I think
it.
The movie was 1980. Okay.
Yeah, it's too old for Brock.
There's a character in the film, Scatman Crothers.
Oh, great.
Is the actor.
Great name.
Okay.
Oh,
Scatman Crothers.
Great actor.
Done many things in life. Was also the voice of Hong Kong Phooey.
Number one super guy.
Number one.
Come on.
Right. Whose lunchbox I had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches placed into forever. But Scatman Crothers in this film, okay, he plays the head chef of the Overlook Hotel.
Okay.
And when the Overlook Hotel closes down for the winter, there's a caretaker there who's Jack Nicholson.
Got it.
Who brings his wife and his son there, and the place is haunted, all right? And though there's something called The Shining, which is the name of the film, where the little boy connects with Scatman Crothers, who's all the way back east now because it's closed. They don't need the head chef there. He's in his winter home in a warmer clime, and he shines with the boy, and he could see the horror that's about to come in the Overlook Hotel that eventually ensue. What he does is he connects. He feels like, I have to go on a mission. I have to save this boy. I have to save this family from Jack Nicholson going crazy. He gets on a plane, flies all the way to the Overlook Hotel, which is snowed in. He gets a snowcat to get all the way to the hotel. He gets into the hotel, and he's about to try and save the son. And as soon as he gets there, he gets an axe in the chest from Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
That's the story of the UCLA Bruins in this year's NCAA tournament.
Gosh, what a way to go.
Banked robbery is the headline of the Los Angeles Times sports section. And well, again, for them to go from what they did all year long to the play-in game, which don't call it a play-in game, call it the first four, fine. The first four, be down, 13 to Michigan State, have their coach call their want-to-drive guts, if you will, into question. They come back from that. They win their first round. They win their second round. They make the Sweet 16 and win that game. They go to the Elite Eight and beat the one seed Michigan in a total squeaker. The opposite of the game we just saw with Gonzaga, that was 50-49 was the final. This one was 93-90. They're playing everybody's game to perfection of their own. They're like chameleons. They're playing defense. They're playing offense. The coach is coaching out of his mind. The father is losing his mind. They get all the way to the national semifinal, and they're trying to complete their mission. And they got a bank shot axe right in the chest. A horror of horrors. You know, all work and no play makes UCLA a dull team, right? I mean, it is insane what happened to them. And I cannot feel more for UCLA fans. And I know they've had all those banners in Westwood. I know what they've got. And for them to see it again and think this could be it and then go all the way. Think of the journey that they went all the way just to this point, just to get Suggs throwing one in from where he threw it to end it. Holy crap. The only analogy I can make it to in my head is The Shining.
Here's Jalen.
Here's Jalen.
Nice.
Correct.
Well done.
Well done, TJ, because that's the only thing I could equate it to. That's the one thing I'm like, name me another journey that went on so long and was so hopeful and so full of goodness and spirit and something to root for, only to have something happen completely unseen that it was coming, and it just instantly offs you right on the spot.
And that's why, Rich, I always say I would rather lose like Houston.
Now, let's get into that. Let's get into that. No shot. Despite the fact that UCLA went on this journey only to get an axe in the chest like The Shining, the minute they stroll into the Overlook Hotel being the Final Four overtime, national semifinal overtime, I still ask any UCLA fan, would they rather have been blown out in this game, get to this point and look like Houston? Because what? It saves you the awful trouble of having to feel the dejection on the spot? Or would you have rather loved and then lost? Rather than never have loved at all, to use the Shakespeare phrase.
Yeah, marriage, I'm taking that.
Yeah, but Houston still loved. The thing about UCLA is their players, their coaches, all their fans, they have to think about all the little things that could have went the other way and changed that game for the rest of their lives. They have to think about the charge call. They have to think about, oh, if we had just stopped ball, maybe it goes to double and we get another. They have to think about all those little what-ifs forever. Houston, we just weren't good enough. We got this.
Yeah, you're just not good enough,
though.
Yeah,
but they got to the Final Four.
Yeah, but you weren't good enough. You weren't good enough.
You weren't going to win anyway. UCLA now can think about, oh, If we could have won the championship,
I
put me out of my misery.
Couldn't disagree.
I don't
want
to bleed to death.
I couldn't disagree more. I'd rather be in it. I'd rather have 2 hours of memorable stuff.
Oof.
And I know that it's painful, but I would rather have loved and lost than never have loved at all. I'd rather be in it. I'd rather have a shot. Absolutely. Rather than just blown out. Well, I guess we weren't in their league. They were in Gonzaga's league. And I know they could sit there and say, if that, whatever, holding, you know, all that business. But you were there, man.
I disagree.
You were in it.
89 still hurts.
All right, so it's 1 versus 2. Where do you stand on this?
That's a tough one, man. Like, normally I'm like, just blow me out, get the game over with, because I don't have to think about every little mistake that I made during the course of the game. But when you have something like, I don't know, this one was different. This was, like you said, this was an instant classic. This is a game that'll be remembered.
Yeah, you're an instant classic. And I know that Nance was saying afterwards, we'll be playing this forever. And a UCLA fan is like, I don't want to see this anymore.
But also,
we're going to see it till the end of time.
Exactly. I'd rather you were in it rather than, how about this, than the old thing? Like, would you rather have lost in the play-in game? You didn't have any of this because it's leading inexorably to the heartbreak that you don't want. How about that? How far do you take this, Chris?
Do you, in a situation like this, would you rather lose like UCLA or lose like Houston?
How about
you know the outcome?
And I understand this is, we're going to make this a poll question, and I'll give you the terms that I think are appropriate to post in a second. And I know you already did this over the weekend.
I did it over the weekend.
I understand that, but we'll do it again.
Kind of immediate.
Okay. But I don't know. I don't think you termed it properly, but we'll get to that in a second.
No,
I don't think you termed it properly. Well, Hold on a second. Let's expand it. If you're UCLA and you take this approach, I'd rather be blown out than not. Would you rather have lost to Michigan State? That when Mick Cronin gets into the huddle and says, you guys, this is, you know, our moment and you guys aren't living up to it. You're not tough enough. Show everyone you're tough enough. Show me you're tough enough or whatever he said. Mm-hmm. And would you rather they didn't respond to that? And they lose. Michigan State goes on and plays BYU. What do you think? Would you rather have not had any of it because you don't want the heartache at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
What are you
I couldn't disagree with
about?
You more.
Like,
rather have none of it? What a memorable run.
A memorable run
yes.
that ends with your heart getting ripped out that you now have to replay every April for the rest of your life.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
The rest
though.
Of your life.
The memories that they
Herb
had
Brooks,
to get together.
Don't lose that game. You've done it now. Don't lose.
Yeah, I'm with Chris.
Not even have the run at all.
I don't want to be there.
Okay, so let's make this a poll question. No, like, what do you say? Knowing the outcome?
It's knowing the outcome.
Knowing the outcome, would you rather A, be in it, lose a heartbreak, or C, no thank you, I'm a sweet little snowflake.
That's pretty aggressive. From the guy who never played competitive sports,
I'm a sweet little snowflake. please don't hurt me. Just say, please don't hurt me.
I could say so many mean things to you right now.
Seriously.
And I'm not going to. Seriously.
Whatever. So I didn't play professional competitive
I'm
sports
just saying,
like that?
Like, bro.
No, I mean, what? I'd rather, I don't know. Term it the same way you termed it. Okay. Term it the same way you termed it. Just refresh it if you can, the poll.
Yeah. So do you want to do it the Houston, or do you just want to do it as a UCLA thing?
Whatever you did over the weekend was
I'm just
fine.
Saying if you're UCLA.
I'm just busting your stones
I know, I understand. But would you rather have not made the playing or lost in the playing game or lost in the buzzer beater?
I think I've made my point that I can't understand that you'd rather have had none of the excitement, the 2 weeks of memory building and team building and program building. My God, now people might go to UCLA.
Well, now you're talking about that's you're totally different. We're just talking about the game.
Game.
Have a whole life. Your entire life now is what if.
And you're never going to want to watch that again. Right. I'd never want to watch that game
So
again.
Just run back what you put the other day, in which, if I'm not mistaken, two-thirds voted with me and one-third voted with you, where two-thirds of the people said that they prefer to have had the run and be in it before getting axed.
You live with the misery your whole life. Why do you want that existence?
All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Maybe we'll ask Peter King. Whose Ohio team actually won a game in this tournament, right? They beat Virginia. And then, of course, we'll talk NFL draft. What are the Niners up to? Is Darnold on the move? And so much more in a second. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. My compadre, my friend from NBC Sports, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. His Football Morning in America column every Monday is must-read material, including this Monday. He is Peter King. How are you, Peter?
Rich, how's it going with you?
I am better for talking to you because it's draft month, Peter. I'm so excited. This is so exciting. I know that, you know, number one is not much of a question, and number two is the Jets, so there's always going to be a question until we actually hear it, and then when we hear it, we'll wonder if that was the right move. And then what the Niners did at three, I'm very excited about this draft, Peter. What do you think?
Well, I think one of the reasons you should be excited is that, you know, I think there's three storylines right at the top. I had a coach tell me last week, he said, I've never seen quarterbacks get pushed up the board as aggressively as they're getting pushed up the board this year, where there's a real legitimate chance that the top four picks are quarterbacks. And as another GM told me that, other than Trevor Lawrence, at least on their board, after Trevor Lawrence, there are six players before any other quarterback comes into play, and yet it could well be that the top four picks could be quarterbacks this year. That means, like, if you're the New York Giants, you know, you might get a great tackle just drop into your lap at number 11. You know, or if you're the Dallas Cowboys, who really need to start rebuilding that offensive line. I mean, they have a lot of needs. But there are just so many interesting possibilities based on the quality and the caliber of players that are going to drop. And then I think the last thing is, what's the team right now? Is it Carolina at 8? Is it New England at 15? Or is it somebody else that I'm not even thinking of? Maybe Chicago at 20? What team is going to perhaps irrationally move up to try to get, say, the fifth quarterback? Or, you know, if they're in love with the fourth quarterback, whoever it is, you know, move up and maybe pay too much. I mean, Rich, the question is, and you're Mr. Jet, what happens if, and look, we've all said it looks like Kyle Wilson's going number two. And I do believe that that is, by far, it has the best chance of happening.
So
what happens if they keep Sam Darnold and they trade and get Carolina's one in, they trade down to 8 and they get Carolina's one in 22 and one in 23, and they have Sam Darnold for one more year, and they then put off their quarterback choice until next year, the year after. I think it's look, I don't know what's going to happen, but the Jets really intrigue me in this draft.
Well, the whole reason why I would think that the Jets wouldn't trade down, if this is true, is that the 49ers either A, offered the same thing to the Jets and they turned it down, or remarkably did not even knock on the Jets' door, potentially because...
Rich, I think they did knock on the Jets' door, and I think Joe Douglas, as I wrote a couple of weeks ago, said that we're not trading the pick. And so if that is true, if that's true, then the Jets are going to sit there and they're going to pick somebody. I doubt they're going to sit at two and take Kyle Pitts. You know, even though it might be, even though if Sam Darnold stayed, I bet he'd be pretty happy to have Kyle Pitts on his team.
Well, if Sam Darnold stayed, they wouldn't be choosing second overall either, right? Because it would have been
much better
worked out.
Unless, Rich, what happens if they trade down and somehow, some way? Because look, I'm not saying it's probable or anything. But if you trade to eight, one of those receivers or Kyle Pitts is going to be sitting there, and maybe two. So you never know what might happen.
Yeah, I don't know, Peter. It's just, again, when you see the wide receivers in this league who have been so successful, from DK Metcalf to Justin Jefferson to Tyreek Hill, and how they're none of them are top 15, you know, like to actually sit here and stick with the quarterback that could be very talented, you know, still in Sam Darnold, because he's been unfairly evaluated. There's no two ways about that. But to bring in a new regime and tell them you need to evaluate this kid too, after that would make a third different regime evaluating Sam Darnold, as opposed to just starting the clock fresh, which we all know contractually what that means in terms of salary cap. And then I don't see sticking with Sam Darnold being a viable option for a team that just doesn't want to keep choosing, you know, top three, top four, or hope that the first rounders that they get are at the top of the draft. It's time to actually start hitting the win it now button, don't you think?
Yeah,
Peter,
I agree. But Rich, if you trade Sam Darnold and you pick Zach Wilson, you're not winning big this year. You know, you're still building. And so, and you know, you made a great point about receivers. Does anybody remember that just 4 years ago, the 5th, 7th, and 9th picks in the draft were Corey Davis, Mike Williams, and John Ross?
There you go. I mean,
John Ross is already a washout. Mike Williams is good. He's not a big star. Corey Davis
is on the Jets.
Is pretty good, and now he's a Jet. So I could not agree with you more. Because last year, I thought, when I look back on the draft last year, the best pick in the draft was Justin Jefferson being picked number 22. And, you know, so to me, I think the wide receiver classes now are so good, so deep, that if you can get Chase Claypool at, I think he was 49, you know, if you can get... Look, I mean, Tyler Johnson, I think, is going to be a really good player for the Bucs. He's a fifth-round pick. And it isn't just last year. It's obviously the year before. After pick number 50, you know, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin. I mean, I look at wide receivers today like I look at running backs. You can get one down the line.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are the Niners doing at three? What did they do to get up there? For who? They must have somebody in mind, clearly. They're not going to evaluate everybody not named Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson just because, right? They must have identified someone.
I honestly take John Lynch at his word when he says that we haven't decided firmly who we're taking at number three. But we now know that we can get a quarterback who we can build around for the future, because we like
all three,
a couple of quarterbacks.
I mean, you know, okay. So
the other point I would make, and I wrote about this today in my column, is that I really don't think Jimmy Garoppolo's going anywhere. In part because if you're a team and you wanted to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, do you want to trade for a guy who's missed 23 games in the last 3 years and who makes $24 million? And you really don't know if he can stay healthy and they want a one for him? Do you really want to do that? I don't. I want to wait until March when Jimmy Garoppolo just might, I doubt it, but might be on the street, you know? And so I would much rather keep Garoppolo if I'm the 49ers, and I think they will. And Garoppolo goes into camp as the starter, and he's got an apprentice who maybe he's not going to actually tutor and help the way a Josh McCown would, but he's going to have a guy trailing him, and whether it's Mac Jones or Trey Lance or whoever it is, Justin Fields, we'll see. But I think the 49ers, if I had to guess right now, I'd guess they would take Mac Jones there. But that's all it is right now. And I think I believe when they made this trade, they did not know for sure. They might have feelings about which one they wanted if Zach Wilson goes to. But I think that is still a TBD.
No, I know Jed York loves his management team, and why not, right? And Kyle Shanahan, clearly has an idea about his system and who would work well in it. But I know if I'm Jed, I'm like, so you want to trade all that for just still evaluating? Like, hey, you sure we're good with everybody? I mean, so.
But Rich, isn't it possible that John Lynch could have asked Kyle Shanahan this question? All right, Kyle, Trevor Lawrence is out. Zach Wilson probably is out.
Right.
I want to know, of the other three quarterbacks, or however many there are, who could go very high in this draft, is there somebody here who absolutely categorically you would want to be your quarterback for the next 10 years? And Kyle Shanahan, I would bet, looked him in the eye and said yes, without any question. Why does he have to pick him right now? If he's looked at the tape and he wants to study, let's say, Trey Lance a little bit more because he's only played one game in the last 400 days. But again, I don't think it's ridiculous at all. I think the one thing, though, if you're the 49ers, you have looked at this thing and you realize that without a full-time quarterback, a Garoppolo or better starter in the four seasons, you've had one really good year. And the other 3 years, you've won 6-6-4 games. So, I think it would be foolhardy, honestly, to trade Garoppolo, unless, of course, they got a ridiculous offer, which I don't think they'll get.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another item in your column was about Justin Fields, and it's entirely. Everyone went crazy over the throw that Zach Wilson made in his pro day. Fields had some remarkable throws, athletic ability on display at his pro day. Runs a 4.4 40. I mean, what is going on with him? It's entirely possible that that's the guy that Shanahan's identified too. Wouldn't you say?
It could be. I don't know, but he is the guy who you hear might drop a little bit. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. What if Justin Fields is sitting there, let's say, at 9 or 10? Do the Patriots say, look, let's stop fooling around and trade up to 10 or 11 and just get Justin Fields, even if it costs us next year's one? I have no idea. Maybe Chicago would offer more than that, if they'd be willing to go down to 20. I don't know. But anyway, I guess my overarching point about Justin Fields is, I wrote about Dan Orlovsky. I got great regard for Dan Orlovsky. I think he's really, really good analyst, and I just think he went too far with his comments last week. But I will say this. I don't know how you question the desire of a guy who last year became the point man for all players in the Big Ten
to play.
Got all these players to sign a petition for Kevin Winston that they wanted the season to go on safely. And I don't know how you question a guy's desire when he takes as big a hit as he might ever take the rest of his football career, misses one snap against Clemson, beats Trevor Lawrence and throws four touchdown passes the rest of the way. So again, you hear some things around draft time every year. Some things you just have to say, you know, I don't care if this is a guy I trust. I just simply don't buy it. And I am not buying that Trevor Lawrence has got some questionable desire or whatever to be great.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Justin Fields has got a tremendous amount of upside. And I don't know if it's an Ohio State thing, because the last guy that came out of Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, had some issues in the pros.
Yeah.
And it's just – it. Again, though, the whole conversation you hear from evaluators and from what you're hearing and what have you, you have no idea sometimes if that's somebody maybe in the middle of the draft who's trying to get someone to drop, and then they become, you know, attached at the hip for years to come, and the player doesn't know that the team did that.
Negative about that, Rich.
What is it?
Because if I am calling someone, asking them for an opinion on it, and let's say Team X is picking 17th,
mm-hmm.
and the coach or scout or GM for Team X says, hey, I'm going to plant with as many of my buddies in the media as I can that this guy is lazy and he doesn't work and all that stuff. And then Team X then picks Justin Fields. Let me just ask you this. Would any of those guys who he planted that with, would they trust him about anything from here on out? I know I wouldn't. So I know that that's a popular conspiracy theorist tool, saying that it's a smokescreen just to get you guys to downgrade him. I've not found that to be as common, and I'm not saying it never happens, but I'm not finding that is as common as some people think it is.
But I mean, I've been around some combines. This year we didn't have one, so there's been less of it, Peter. I mean, you hear it from scouts who might not even have a say in the room. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
So I'd understand that from an actual grocery shopper saying that stuff. I wouldn't trust that person again either. But you hear agents, you hear all sorts of garbage. And that's why you rarely hear an analyst say what Dan said publicly, because, you know, again, I don't want to source anything or anything like that, but I guess we'll find out down the road here. But Justin Fields is not, he's not going to have a very long night in Cleveland, Ohio, I don't think, at all. That would be a shocker to me.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so.
Right.
But I do think this, Rich, every year, you know, don't you think this year, and I just talked to Mel Kiper for my podcast this week, and one of the things I said to him is, don't you think this year, as much as ever, that the quarterbacks are getting pushed up the board?
Yeah, why is
and
that?
And some potentially really great players obviously are getting pushed down the board.
Right.
So that's why I think this draft is really going to be a lot of fun. Because what if Kyle Pitts, who some people think might be the best tight end to ever come out in a draft, what if he gets picked 10th or 11th or 12th? And I'm not saying he will. I doubt he will. He might get picked 3rd or 4th, or 4th maybe. But some things are going to happen in this draft that I think are going to, because everybody is just obsessed with the draft now, I think some things are going to happen in this draft that will take your breath away.
I can't wait, Peter King. I can't wait. Before I let you go, Peter, we're having a debate here on the show. Would you rather, if you knew your team was going to lose, the team you're rooting for, whether it is your alma mater, Ohio, or it's the Red Sox or anything like that, and a team that you're emotionally invested in, if you knew that they were going to lose, would you rather lose like Houston did over the weekend and getting blown out by Baylor, or would you rather lose like UCLA, where you were in it, you had a chance to knock off potentially the eventual champion and prevent that champion from being undefeated? And
absolutely. You don't even have to finish the question. Absolutely, like UCLA. And I'll just tell you a quick story. The last field hockey game my daughter Mary Beth played in New Jersey. They were in the state semifinals. They were really, really good, and they lost right at the end of the game. And they went farther than anybody thought, and they lost a heartbreaking game. And that night, she's home, she's crying, and she's so sad. And I just said to her, "Hey, Mary Beth, listen, you know, all of your friends, so many of your friends, are sitting at home. They're on the computer. They're living their life. They're fine. They're happy, whatever. And you are in agony right now. But you know what you had? You had incredibly great moments with this team in the playoffs this year, in the state playoffs. Plus, you know, you've had it this way for 4 years playing this sport that you love. So, I mean, aren't you happy that you had those experiences?" And it's like, if I'm a UCLA fan, I mean, we were down by double digits in the second half to Michigan State in a play-in game. We lost four straight before the tournament. We weren't positive we were getting in the tournament. And then we have all these incredible games and play these overtime games and win. That is what sports is about. I know your heart is broken today after getting that shot that beat you, but what a game. What an incredible game, and what a performance you guys put on. I absolutely would rather lose in an agonizing fashion.
Peter, appreciate that.
Peter, Aaron Boone, brother. Like, come on. You don't want to get ripped out.
That's a little bit of a different story.
No, it's not. It's the same.
He's saying it's the same.
The reason that that's a different story is that whole playoff thing with Grady Little and Pedro. That just pissed me off.
No, but his point is, would you rather just be down 10-0 in the first and you don't have any of that forevermore? That's what he's wondering.
But look, the Red Sox lost that year because they were horrendously managed, okay? And so that night I was just angry. I didn't, if it was 11-0 or if it's the Aaron Boone walk off. I mean, I don't care. I just was so angry about what happened. So anyway,
despondent Peter King sends us out the door. Thanks for the call, Peter. Appreciate it. We'll chat
soon. All right, guys. See you later.
There's Peter King. He made my point and your point too. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we hail a national champion that was crowned over the weekend. We're back in a second. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Back here on our radio and television simulcast. Peter King and Jim Nantz. The third hour is all for you, everybody. 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. We'll take your calls then. Watch Stanford and Arizona win the play for the national championship game in San Antonio. All Pac-12 women's college basketball championship
game. How about that?
That was a tight one down at the end. Congratulations to Stanford, winning for the first time in damn near three decades. And you know the rules that sent the 49ers on the road due to COVID, as you know. Palo Alto, California, right around the corner from Santa Clara. That put Stanford on the road for 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been home in home. They have not been back together at home. 10 weeks. They won it all.
The Road Warriors.
Unbelievable run and story, and congratulations to them. And all I could think of was this, is watching the parents in the stands celebrate, you know, and Coach, you know, Vandeveer, now the all-time leader in wins, right, for coaches, passing Pat Summitt, and she cuts down the nets. In this tournament, in this world, and they're winning it all. I mean, it's just an incredible story. But I couldn't help but think, you know, watching the parents celebrate. And now that I have a daughter, and just thinking what that must mean for the girl moms and girl dads in those stands there. And certainly for Stanford. And I understand they feel the same way about sons and what have you. But I just, it kind of sit there, and that the rides, the chauffeuring their kids to all of the high schools and, you know, and youth games and everything that goes into it, and all the crap that they must have heard about, it's just a girl, you know, and for them to win it all, for them to get this moment, for their daughters to be celebrating being champions. And on top of all of it, they go to Stanford. I thought to myself,
yeah, man.
I mean,
incredible.
Obviously it's great for the coach and the program and for the athletes. I just thought, like, that has to be, as a parent, one of the great, like, okay.
Equally satisfying.
They also go to Stanford.
Right.
And that some of these ladies may not make it to the WNBA. They might not make it professionally. They may not be able to make a profession out of this. But now they go into the real world as champions and have that ability to stand tall. It just blew me away, the whole story from start to finish. 10 weeks on the road.
Oh.
10 weeks away. I mean, I just remember, and again, I know their kids and I know their staff or what have you, but I remember the 49ers organization telling me when they were going to go on the road for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and potentially not be back for Christmas, that they were telling their families, I may not be home for Christmas. Kids were crying and what have you. I mean, the upheaval. And then you're still Zooming in Stanford. To go to school.
It's no joke.
That is one of the most incredible runs. You know, Arizona beat UConn, and I know that they were a remarkable
epic
run too. Yeah. And I send my congratulations to the runners up who just missed it. Just missed it. Bouncing UConn as well. Significant.
Yeah. Rich, with Stanford, you know, back to back their final four games, they beat Arizona. I mean, they won their first game by a point
against South Carolina.
South Carolina,
right.
Two layups missed at within 1.5 seconds that South Carolina could have won the game, and they missed them. So Stanford gets that, and then they go to the national title game and win that by a point after the team misses a last second shot.
They were champions, man. They were champions of college basketball, and congratulations to Stanford. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We'll take your phone calls in hour number three. I'll give Chris Brockman another moment to pound the table for what I think is a minority opinion based on our poll question right now. You two guys over there, you'd rather get blown out. No, thank you.
Exactly. It was nice of Peter to play both sides.
Yeah.
What, Peter King?
Yeah. Last segment.
Yeah, I know.
Play both sides.
I know. He played both sides of it. Kind of like Del Tufo in the whole April Fool's thing with Strahan.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Shots fired, everybody.
844-204-RICH,
number to dial here on this busy Monday in the first week of April.